from your mountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father.
Let us pray. Father, once again we come looking to Thee, the author and finisher of all revelation, Lord, the one who is the bread, and Lord, that feeds us day by day, the one that give us, Lord, understanding, that draws us, Lord, into the presence of God in this last day. Lord, may you speak to every heart this morning. May you comfort every heart, Lord, as you know every need in every situation. You know the sick. You know the spiritually distressed. You know those in financial needs, Lord. You know every situation, Lord. You knew it before the foundation of the world. And Father, may you just draw, Lord. May each one recognize your presence, your mercy, and your grace. Let us receive from you, Lord. Lord, as we commit all to you, as we ask all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Good to see you this morning. We greet you in the name of the Lord. And so happy to be here. And we had a really small crowd on Wednesday. And so we're happy to see so many today. And I want to say last week, I guess it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Rhonda told me, she said, I'm going to go up and sit with Edith so she won't be alone during the service, and she was going to join her. And then I found out there was so many people there, and I thought, it really touched my heart. I rejoiced. And I think there was more there than there was here. Maybe it was somewhere close to that. And so it just really touched my heart. So God bless you, each one. And Joe brought a iPad that so inspired Sister Edith. She's already ordered one, and she's waiting for it now to come. Yeah. So it was really good and a real blessing. And so we just thank God. And so, and I've really marveled at how much love and support that she's had. Went up there last night when we got back, and the room was full. And so it's been a real blessing, and she really appreciates it so much, your love and support to her. So God bless you, each one, for those things. And now, I told you we were going to make a run to Florida. As many times over the years as I've went to Florida to visit family and different things, that's the first time I ever went and came back the next day. It's not a trip that you want to make like that. It's a long ways. I don't know exactly, but maybe at one time I checked, it was like 538 miles. And that was from my house to my mom's house. And so that's over 1,000 miles in 2 days. And so that's a lot of sitting. That's a lot of riding. And but just with so many things going on and all, I needed to make it happen really fast. And so we were able to do that. And I want to thank Brother Michael, because he volunteered to be the driver. And so of course, those of you who have gone on long, long trips, you know what it is. If you've drove before, you know what it is. And so I really appreciate it. As I'm getting older, I don't have that desire to drive like I used to. And so it really tires me out, wears me out when on those, you know, 8-9 hours behind the wheel. And so it was a real blessing for me. And he's such a good driver. He's a good driver. And when my wife says you're a good driver, that means you're a good driver. Just smooth. He just, I'm a little more jerky and maybe float around a little bit. And I think Brother Gumba and I, maybe we might be closer together. I could go over a speed bump at 100 and land out there somewhere. And so, it just depends on the circumstances. But he was just so smooth. And so it was really good. So we brought my mom back, and she's home, and Rhonda's there with her. We're gonna get some cameras so that we can monitor her if we need to go to the store or something, or so she can come to church, because she's unpredictable, and so we don't know what she'll do, when she'll do it. She's okay, but she just somebody has to be with her all the time, and so we appreciate your prayers, and I just ask you would continue to remember us and the family. And I want to say again concerning Brother Richard, every time you go, you see an improvement. You literally see an improvement. And so he was talking better last night, using more words, more clear, and looking better, brighter. He's getting a little bit of movement on his right side. And so all of those things are just a real blessing for God helping him. And we thank God for it. And so continue to remember him. Continue to remember Sister Edith. To strengthen her, because it's hard sitting there for days and days with somebody. So now I want to get into the message this morning, and I don't like apologizing for the message or for my ministry or for my lack of preaching ability, but I'm going to read to you this morning, and so you just bear with me. We've been talking about the last few services about the body of Christ, and we left off on the book of redemption, and I want to get back to that. But when I touched on this, I wanted to talk, I wanted to bring in some things on the body. And so when you're talking about the body, you're also talking about not just in this day, you're not just talking about the head coming to the body, but you're talking about, down through the age. There was what God was doing, he was building. And he was building not a building, but he was building a body. And so that body is a word body. And so it was him. It was him all the time that was being expressed, that was being manifested. And so as he was adding more of himself, and him being the word, that means he was adding more of the word. So every age he's adding some more, he's adding some more. But there was a process. And so we find it all the way from the beginning. We find even from Adam, he had the word, he had the Spirit of God, he had all that, and then there was the fall. And then we've seen the way it came through the Old Testament. We've seen in the New Testament, here he comes and establishes the blood, and then there's a falling away again. And so it's a process of what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And so there's a little bit of history in here, and I want to, that's the reason I'm going to read to you some this morning. But we're going to start out in a scripture, and this scripture is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 and 22. And this was the message to the Laodicean church age, to the last church age. And so this is just a part of it. And so this part here, Brother Branham is going to explain. He's going to break it down and explain what's being said and who it's being said to. And he's also, out of this scripture, he's going to tell us where Christ is. And so let's just read, and we'll do the best we can to not make you sleepy, but hopefully you had a good rest. You got an extra hour last night, so that was a blessing. And I'm thinking now, Brother, it made a change for Brother Benjamin. So it made an hour later for him. But for Alberta, they're on the same, and they do the time change. So they're still on the same. They got an extra hour last night like we did. So that's all good. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and now this is the word also. This is the interpretation of the word, because this is the voice of God in the last days. And so some of these things I want to get out there, because I've had on my heart now for some time the young people, and we have young people here, and we have young people out there. And so I want to make sure that they're established in what's happened all the way through from Genesis to Revelations, but also from Pentecost, from Calvary, to the headstone, to Christ coming and the head coming to the body. Because this is the great thing. It was so many times, and I know as a young Christian myself, I was the same way. I just only looked at one age. I looked at the Pentecostal age. I looked at what's right now, just right, what's right here. But God had something in his mind that he's been working on all the way from before the foundation of the world, before anything was there, before anything was made, before any creation, before anything. God had a plan, and he was working on something. And so the things that we see, sometimes we think, you know, man thinks this is a mistake, or that's a mistake, or this is good, that's not good. And, you know, that's our intellect thinking about what we see of a situation. But God had a plan. Yes, and God's bringing to pass his attributes. And you see the worst things happening in the world, God still is bringing forth his attributes. Amen. Through those things happening, God's still right on the scene. Yes, God's still moving forward with what he had in his mind. And so, and you see the title there today, The Open Door to the Antichrist. That was just as much a part of what had to happen as Christ himself coming and joining himself to the body. Amen. As Christ coming and giving himself at Calvary. As Christ coming through the prophets and being rejected. Every bit of that had to come to pass exactly as it did. Yes. There's no mistakes. There's absolutely no mistakes. See, so now he says there's a great deal of confusion over this verse, because so many personal workers use it in personal evangelism as though Jesus were at the heart's door of every sinner knocking for admission. And that sounds good, don't it? We preach like that. We certainly preach that message. So it would then be said that if the sinner opened the door, the Lord would come in. See? But this verse is not talking to individual sinners. Okay, remember, this is the prophet. Right. So this whole message is a summation, as does every message in every age. In verse 22, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Says to who? The churches. Right. So he's saying, it's not individuals in this particular spot right here. That is, he's speaking to the churches. But I want you to remember another thing that Brother Branham brought out when he was revealing the church ages. He said one reason that the revelation is so misunderstood is because the people fail to recognize that God's talking to two groups of people. So he's talking to two churches. He's talking about the church natural, church carnal, and he's talking about the church spiritual. So there's two groups of people that are being addressed. When you listen to every age, he's condemning one, he's encouraging the other one.
Yes, sir.
See? So this is the message to the church of the last age. This is the condition of the Laodicean church as its end nears. So it's not a personal message to one person. It is the Spirit telling us where Jesus is. How about that? Huh? The first time you read that, Did you get all of this out of that? I certainly didn't. I certainly didn't. But that's why we can thank God for the voice of God. That's why we can thank God for a prophet messenger in every age. Every time God sends a voice on the scene. Because we're not going to get it. Because God ordained this thing before the foundation of the world. He ordained a way. He ordained a way for us to receive the revelation. And that's through the prophets. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every one of those prophets was the mouth of God. And people just, they take this right here and they say, this is it. I believe it. I believe the Bible. I believe God. I believe, I believe, I believe. And then somehow or another, they get it in their mind that this, that when this last verse of Revelation 22 was written, that the voice of God could not speak any longer. That people got that in their minds.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, oh yeah, he was a prophet. He had a gift. He had this. He had that. But yet, when it comes and he says, when he begins to reveal what this says,
yes, sir,
then they go with their intellectual idea, or they go with some man's idea.
Right.
And you watch how close it is sometimes. Even what he's saying right here, it sounds exactly right. How many times have we preached that he's knocking at the heart's door, and you open the door, he's going to come in. But it's placing every scripture, every word exactly where it goes.
Amen.
Is he coming to the individual? Yes, he does. He deals with the Gentile as individuals.
Yes,
but he's telling you here in this scripture what he's saying. And that's what we must do. We must recognize what he's saying in this particular place.
That's right.
And that'll help us when we go other places. See? So he's telling, it's the Spirit. It is the Spirit telling us where Jesus is. Christ has left the church. Full stop. Christ has left the church. He's not there no more. He was there through seven church ages, through 2,000 years. Christ was in the church, and there was two vines. Those two vines, the wheat and the tares, they were growing together. But they're not there now. They're not there now because he has left the church. And when he left the church, he sent the voice of God, and the voice of God began to scream, come out of her, my people. Huh? And the whole time he's screaming to them, they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and they're coming into a world council of churches. They're coming into a federation of churches. They're coming into this big conglomeration of Antichrist spirit.
Amen.
See, brother, this is just too shallow. It is. It is shallow. But if our youth understand this, they're going to understand where we're at now.
Amen.
They're going to see what we've came through and why we came through it.
That's right.
And that Christ was building the body. He was building a body so that he could come to the body.
Amen.
So that he could join himself to a body that was going to be Jesus Christ on the earth in the last days.
Yes, sir.
Not in the Pentecostal age, but in the bride age, in the climax age, in the word age. That's where we are. This is the word age.
Yes,
this is when the full word and the full spirit has come and manifested itself on the earth in this last day.
That's right.
You are the body of Christ. Yes. You're the flesh that he's using today.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham made it clear. He made it clear when he said the only way that the world will see Jesus Christ today, and they're looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for, you hear people talking about it all over the place. They're looking for him, but the only way they're going to see him is when they recognize him in you.
Right.
When they recognize him in you, that's when they will see Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
And if Christ is in you, what did he say he will do? He will vindicate.
That's right.
He will vindicate your life. He will vindicate the presence of God living in you. He will vindicate the word being manifested in you.
Yes, sir.
That's right. The works that he did, will you do also?
Yes,
going to be the same thing. The same thing living in your flesh.
Amen.
That was living in his flesh.
Right.
Will be doing the same thing.
Amen.
Is this not a logical result or end if the word is put aside for creed? The Holy Spirit deposed for popes and bishops and presidents and counselors, etc., and the Savior set aside for a works program and church joining or some type of conformity to a church system. That's what's happened. And listen, he didn't nail it to one thing. He put it out there in everything. Society today, the social standing today, everything, every direction that you go is being, we talked about the children in school, the peer pressure, those different things. There's peer pressure on your job. There's peer pressure wherever you go, whatever you do, in your society, in your neighborhood.
Amen.
It can be in the church. Go get in these churches out here. Yeah.
That's right.
And it's mixed up with politics and it's mixed up with everything else. I've been talking about the Catholic Church lately, and because that thing's there. Brother Branham said that Israel and the Catholic Church was going to have a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And you look and you see it building on both sides. And we've done pretty good. I was really surprised during Biden's time that we stood with Israel, because I thought they were going the other way. But what I didn't realize until Trump's time, who was 100% with Israel, was that Israel's playing both sides. They're supporting the liberals, the Democrats, so that when they get elected, they have pull. And they're supporting the Republicans so that when they get elected, they have pull.
Yes,
so they have them all in the bag.
Right.
They have them all in the bag. And I never heard it, but it's been said several times that Bibi Netanyahu says that he controls the U.S. Now, I ain't seen the quote, but I keep hearing it. I keep hearing it. I'm waiting to... That won't set well with Trump. But the problem is, it's all intermingled into his family. He can't get away from it.
Right.
His daughter's married to a Jew, and so the whole thing is there. And don't think... I'm not trying to get away from supporting Israel. Yes, we support Israel, but all Israel is not Israel.
Right.
Brother Branham said, I'm not talking about this Wall Street
right.
Israel.
Yeah.
That guy's a crook. Brother Branham said, you better put your money in your pocket and zip it,
yep.
Because they'll get you. They'll swindle you. They'll take advantage of you. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they are the ones who have done a lot of this, what you're seeing on the college campuses and a lot of this demonstration, a lot of this other junk. Some of those guys are responsible for these things. And they're bad guys. But that true Israel, that's what we're talking about. We're 100% for that. The Roman Catholic Church, it's been the Antichrist since its conception.
That's right.
Since its conception, it's been the Antichrist. There was a man named Mordecai Ham. He was a good friend of Brother Branham's. And you know the name is Jewish. And so that man lived across the river from Brother Branham. And so he was a gospel preacher. And he went out, had conventions and did different types of ministries at different times in his life. But he preached. And although he was a minister, so he was very, I'm looking for the right words, he was very knowledgeable of politics and what was going on. And he tried to keep them separate and not bring it in to the pulpit. But in 1928, there was a man named Al Smith. And Al Smith was the first Roman Catholic to run for president of the United States. And so Mordecai Ham was so against this that he began to preach against him. And he began to rally the churches to vote against him. He was probably the most qualified man to be the president. But the only thing against him was that he was Roman Catholic. That's how it was in those days. And before that, it was worse. When they first came, they would get tarred and feathered. They would get persecuted. But they came in, and they came in with their money. And how did they do? They began to build the schools. They began to build churches. They began to do these things. And so they go right to the poor people. And the poor people couldn't afford to send their people to school. They couldn't afford these other things. And so what did? They give them over to the Catholic Church. Now, they didn't just give them over and say, oh, well, whatever, we're going to let them be Catholic. No. They just let them, still preaching at home Christianity, still preaching at home Calvary, still preaching at home these things. But yet the Catholic Church was slowly introducing praying to the saints, praying to the dead. The Pope is the only Holy One. He's the great Holy One. He's God to the people. He's slowly. It was coming in. That's how they did it. In 1928, the most qualified man couldn't be president simply because of his religion. In the 1960s, Kennedy, also a Roman Catholic, now is voted in to be the president of the United States. And now, the whole cabinet, all of it, the House, the Senate, all of it is just Catholics everywhere.
Yes, sir.
It's everywhere.
Right.
You see, brother, you got it. I don't got a chip on my shoulder. I'm telling you, it's Antichrist.
Amen.
I'm telling you, they're off the word.
That's right.
They are off the word. 100%. They're off the word. Listen what he says. Huh? The bishops, the popes, the counselors, all of it. It's all. See, what more can be done against him? This is the apostasy. This is it. He's identifying it. He's identifying it in the Catholic Church. He's identifying it in the Protestant Church. He's identifying it everywhere, everything that's anti-word. This is the apostasy. This is the falling away. You want to know what it was? Paul said, Paul prophesied 2,000 years ago. Brother Branham saying, this is it. This is what he was talking about. This is the falling away.
That's right.
It come right through the ages. It was building. That Antichrist spirit was there, working its way through. This is the apostasy. This is the following. This is the open door to Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That was it right there. That's where it's at today. It's here right now. Satan is taking his bride. Satan is fulfilling. He's the head of his body, of his church, in deception and in perversion, in every foul spirit, in every foul way. Satan is on the scene, doing what he does.
Amen.
What he was ordained to do.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He didn't just trick God and overcome. No. God knew.
Amen.
Iniquity was found in him.
Yes.
Jealousy was found in him. He wanted what God had. He wanted to be worshipped like God. And he deceived a third of the angels to pull them to himself.
Yes, sir.
And they quit following God to follow Satan. And now where are they? They're right there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, there's always some good there. That's why when our children come and they say, can I do this? Can I do this? And you're saying, no, that's bad. What do? They point out the good. They point out some good there. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to point out the bad. And that's the problem. That's what was wrong. It was mixed together. And when it's mixed together, it's hard for the people to get it straight.
Yes, sir.
But God promised a time in the last days that he was going to separate it. And he has separated, and it is separated now.
Amen.
That's right, it's separated. There's no doubt now. That's all Antichrist. Every bit of it, 100%, it's Antichrist. And God has given his wife the revelation.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you want it, it's here. If you want it, it's here. That's it.
Amen.
You got the books? You know, I can remember And I know, I'm sure Brother Goomba can too. I'm just guessing, somehow or another we use the word 20 years so much till it can't be accurate anymore. But we just say 20 years ago. But some of these things are 30 years. Some of these things are 35, 40 years ago. You remember, brother, when it was so hard to get the books? You remember when the people were trying to get them books? And of course, we got them first. It was easier for us. But when you went overseas, when you went to India, I can remember us, they tried and tried and tried. One time we took a train ride all night long. We were supposed to be in the meetings the next day. But we had an opportunity. We were close to Chennai. And we said, we're going to go. And we took the train. Oh, I left Brother Holmes there with the brethren. And actually, I was supposed to be meeting him. And he thought I got lost somewhere because I just took it upon myself to go. And so he was, when I got back, we was all night on the train, all day on the train. It was like 24 hours. But we got books. We got there. We got some books. And so I got back just before he left. He was closing the meeting. He was leaving because he thought something had happened. But anyways, it was hard in those days. It was hard in those days for these poor brothers to get the books and the tapes and all of these things. And what was happening was, and which is still going on today, sometimes if your doctrine matches their doctrine, you're the ones who's going to get it. You're the ones going to get the tablets. They're the ones going to get all of the things. It's getting better. It's getting better. Sometimes it's not meant from this side to be like that. But sometimes they are, when they're putting out any product, I don't care if it's a tablet, if it's just a book, or if it's anything, and they, here on this side, and they ask you what your doctrine is, what do you believe, what do you think about baptism, what do you think about polygamy, what do you think about this, what do you think about that? That's not the question to ask. If you're supplying books and the people here have already sent money to pay for them books and now you're going to send it out, there's only one thing to ask. Are you a believer or you're not a believer? Huh? Because we don't have no denomination to tell us. We don't have no man that we're looking to. That's what he's talking about. This was the open door to apostasy. This was the open door to Antichrist, is when you're going to put a man over the people.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God ain't going to have it.
Amen.
God's not going to have it.
Right.
But man has done it and Satan has done it and people to this day. And there's more conversions to Catholicism now that I've been seeing, especially in our ruling class. And it's amazing me. It's amazing me. They're even they were Protestant, and now they're going to Catholicism. I'm wondering why, Brother Goomba. I'm wondering what is drawing them into this at this late hour.
Yes, sir.
It's that Antichrist spirit.
Amen.
It's the open door to Antichrist.
Yes.
And he's the one inspiring. He's the one that's moving them. He's the one that is revealing himself to them. It's a more beautiful religion. It's a more beautiful way. You got this priest coming out with these robes on and these chains hanging out of him, and he's got some incense that smells nice, and he's walking, and he's just doing everything just right. People are moved by that. They're moved by that. It's an emotional move, and they're inspired. They might even get goosebumps or something. It's the devil. The difference in the bride of Jesus Christ is one thing. She bases everything on the Word of God.
Amen.
She bases it on the Word of God. When something's being said, she takes it back to the Word.
Yes, sir.
Every time. Every time. She's not going to go on emotion. She's not going to go on what's beautiful. She's not going to go what's sweet and lovely and flowery and all of that.
Amen.
She won't do it. I hope this is okay.
It's good.
I hope it's okay. Let me read it again. This is the apostasy. This is the falling away. This is the open door to Antichrist. For if one came in the Father's name, Jesus, and was not received but rejected, then there will come another with his own name, a liar, a pretender, and they will receive. Have they done it? Over and over and over again they've done it. They're continuing to do it until they'll do it in the very incarnate Antichrist himself. Yes, they've done it in the denominational churches. They've done it in the World Council of Churches. They've done it in the Roman Catholic Church. The Episcopalian, every other kind of thing you got out there. See, him will they receive. John 5:43, the man of sin, that son of perdition, will take over. Matthew 24 mentions signs in the heavens concerning this last day just before Jesus comes. I wonder if you notice such a sign recently fulfilled as to portray the very truth that we have been discussing. He's asking the people now. This is in the Church Ages book. So this is when they were grammarizing and doing all this thing now. And they're really taking a lot of time to cover all these details so the people can see the history of it. They can see the scripture from the beginning to the ending, see it tied together, how that Christ was coming to join himself, how that Satan was coming all the way through to deceive the people. Amen. I can remember when Autumn was just a little girl, and these things were being preached hard. That's, we're talking 10, 12 years ago, and we was preaching really hard some of these things against the Antichrist, against the churches, against these things. And so she come home from school, and she told me that, she said, Dad, she said, but they're sincere. My friends, what about them? They go to a different church. They don't believe like we do. They go to this church or that church, or they're Muslim or they're Catholic or they're whatever they are. And so it was really delicate. You know, you're not going to just tell your daughter at 4 or 5 years old that they're all lost. You're going to try to bring her slowly into this thing. But when you get of age and you begin to mature and you begin to look at what's taking place and what is taking place, and when you begin to understand what has happened in the churches and the condition that it's left the people in, not left them. It didn't leave them unhappy. They're happy. Yes, huh? They're happy. They're rejoicing. They thank God. They might thank God more than we do. Yep. They're praising God because God did this and God did that and all these great things that are going on. But the difference is, what you don't normally tell a five-year-old, you can tell grown-ups. They're deceived. They've been deceived by the spirit of Satan. Every denomination, and I'm going to say it, every denomination, amen, every denomination is of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Not the people in there. Get that straight. Yes. Not the people.
Right.
If there's a son or daughter of God in there, what has to happen? They must come out.
That's right.
They cannot stay in there. If God, before the foundation of the world, had in his mind that he was going to raise up a man to reveal the word to, and that man was going to write it, and then it was going to be sealed in the book of Revelations, and it was going to be revealed in the last days by the last day prophet.
Amen.
That I'm going to call my people out of those churches.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to call them out. That's the message. It's right there in your Bible. Read your Bible. Read the book of Revelations.
Right.
That last messenger was screaming, crying out, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
Why? It was the devil. Every foul spirit was in there.
Yes, sir.
It's a perversion. It's a lie.
That's right.
It's an antichrist.
Amen.
Notice the signs just recently. He's talking about in that day. The truth is that Jesus has been steadily pushed aside. Huh?
Right.
Steadily pushed aside. No, they don't want him. They want some form. They want some something else besides the true word.
Right.
We don't have a day that you know, I guess Easter is the closest thing. But it's really for the believer. Because Easter does not create this national time for God. It doesn't do it. Yeah, all of the churches worship. All of the churches have Easter meetings. All of the churches do something. But usually it's the bride, it's the elect, or that's going to be, that whole week's going to be special, or they're going to have a few days, they're going to have something, and they're going to come together and they're going to worship God. But on the carnal side, think about it now, this is true statistics, okay? This is true statistics. Christmas and Easter, there's more people go to church than any other time. All year long. Those two times. That's what the churches have done. And what do? They have to buy a new dress. They have to buy a new suit. They have to buy a new hat. Why? Because they hadn't been. They got to make an impression. And they think by that new dress, they think by coming in and making this flesh look good, that's going to be something pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. It's pleasing to them.
Yes, sir.
And what are they doing? They're just congratulating one another. Yep. That's a nice hat you got there. Oh, that's a nice suit. Oh, what a nice tie that you have.
Yep.
Huh? And they go out the door and they make a joke about it and they say, we'll see you at Christmas time. Yeah,
that's right.
It is a deception.
Yes, sir.
It's a deception. And they believe that they're Christians. They believe that they're saved.
Amen.
Brother, there's only one way, and that's the new birth.
Yes, sir.
And that goes for you. It goes for your spouse. It goes for your children. It goes for everybody on the earth today.
Yes, sir.
There's only one way.
That's right.
We read it on Wednesday night. It's to be born by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He was steadily pushed aside until the last age. He's pushed outside of the church.
Amen.
Think about it now. And young people listening,
yes, sir.
Think about it. Christ, who is Christ? The Word. Christ is the Word. Don't forget that. When you talk about God, when you talk about Jesus, when you talk about Christ, just remember one thing. He's the Word.
Yes, sir.
So when people are talking about pushing Him out, don't matter how much they say, Jesus, 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 I love you. What are they doing with the Word?
Right.
Because that shows you what they think of Jesus.
Amen.
Some man come to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I'm sincere. I'm so sincere. Brother Branham said, let your life prove to me your sincerity.
That's right.
He said, you say you're sincere? Then what about all this sin? What about all this world? What about all this nonsense?
Yes, sir.
He said, well, Brother Branham, it's complicated. He said you were sincere.
That's right.
I didn't say you were sincere. You said you were sincere.
Right, right.
If you're sincere, then you're going to get the interpretation to the Word. You're going to get it together. You're going to take it all. Because you know that this is God. And God is the Word. This is God in written form. This is God in the spoken word of this day.
Amen.
He came in this day once again with a prophet, the mouthpiece of God.
That's right.
Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Does God have a mouth?
Yes, sir.
What is God's mouth? It's the prophet. So every time God sends a prophet, God's got another mouth.
Yes, sir.
You can't just decide. You know, Brother Branham talked about these women that said Paul was a woman hater. Can you imagine calling the prophet of God a woman hater? They call Brother Branham that. But they identified certain prophets like Elijah, different ones, you know, that condemned the women. The way they were dressing and the way that they were cutting their hair and all the jewelry they were wearing and all of those worldly things that they were doing, just going overboard with everything. And then they accuse them of not loving the people. Do you know how much harder it is to tell somebody the truth? Huh? Do you know how much harder it is to love somebody enough to tell them that they're wrong? It's painful. It's painful for the preacher sometimes. It's painful. I don't like to hurt people's feelings. I don't. But sometimes it comes out and people think you enjoy it, but I don't. I don't think none of these ministers do. I think that we wish that it was like them. You just come, have a sweet little message, sweet little message, sweet little message. That ain't God's way. You're not reading this. You're not reading this because every time God sent a message, He was condemning. He sent that prophet because the people had got away from the Word.
That's right.
So if He sent us a prophet today, it's because they got away from the Word.
Yes, sir.
And God loved us enough to get us back on the Word.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
That's
our open door.
Right.
That's what God did for us. That's the invitation that He gave for us.
Amen.
See, He's on the outside of the church. See, recall that in the first age, it was almost a full orbit church of truth. The first age, almost full. Huh? Paul was pushing out those rumors, you know, that the disciples had. Those men that hung around with the prophet, that hung around with Christ. Yeah. They still, people today, think those are the most holy men. That's what they thought about the disciples. And they were good men. And they were willing to die. But God sent a prophet by the name of Paul.
Yes, sir.
And when Paul came, he rebuked Peter. And he rebuked him again and again. And he rebuked the other ones. Why? Because God had revealed to Paul the revelation.
Yes, sir.
The others were just doing the best they could. They could at that time.
Yes,
huh? They were still, every time Christ said something, they would come and say, Lord, would you tell us, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean? He would take them aside, take them over in the little room over there, and reveal to them what this meant. But when He left, they still didn't have it all. He didn't reveal it all to them. God never does it that way. Get it out of your mind. That's not God's way. God's way is to send a prophet. And so when God sent a prophet, who has to listen now? Peter, James, Mark, Matthew, every one of those disciples now are obligated to God to hear that prophet.
Yes, sir.
Because He sent to the whole world.
Right.
Somebody said the other day that about Elijah was Jezebel's pastor. That's right. Brother Branham was the pastor, the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Even those that hated him, even those that didn't like him, even those that didn't believe what he was saying, he was the pastor because he was God's man on the earth.
That's right.
He was God's man on the earth.
Yes, sir.
He said he was Jezebel's pastor. Said she didn't like it. She didn't accept it. She didn't claim it. But he was still the pastor because God said he was the voice of God.
Yes, sir.
So, that's why Brother Branham said, every time you come in the door, he said, you're closer to God or farther away from God. You either are agreeing with the Word of God, not the preacher. It's not about who's standing up here.
Right.
It's not about whether you agree with me. It's about whether you agree with this message.
Amen.
And if you're agreeing with this message, then God is drawing you into Himself. And when you're disagreeing with the message, then you are pushing God off. And you keep just pushing and pushing. After a while, you find out He's nowhere near you.
Right.
You pushed Him too far.
Amen.
That happens in the natural. It happens in the spiritual. You watch a woman keeps pushing her husband away, pushing him away, pushing away. After a while, she's wondering why he's not there.
Yep.
You keep pushing God away, pushing Him away, pushing Him away. You're going to wonder one day why He's not there.
That's right.
First age, they almost had full word there. See? But there was a little error called the deeds of the Nicolaitans that kept the circle from being full. Then in the next age, more darkness crept in until a ball of light glowed less. and darkness covered more of the circle. And in the third age, it was eclipsed still more. And in the fourth age, which was the dark ages, the light had all but gone out. How about that? Amen. Falling away, falling away, falling away. But there was something that had to be revealed. Now think on this. The church shines in the reflected light of Christ. He's the sun and the church is the moon. Thus, this orb of light is the moon. It had decreased from almost a full moon in the first age to a sliver in the fourth age. And in the fifth age, it began to grow. Think now. Get that in your history there. It began to grow. Get that in the revelation in your Bible. It began to grow. Get it from the prophet's message. They all testify to exactly the same thing. It began to grow. See, in the sixth age, it took a great step of growth forward. In part of the seventh age, it was still growing. And then when suddenly it stopped short and it waned to almost nothingness, so that instead of light, it was the blackness of apostasy. Huh? Is that right?
Amen.
Because of the rejection and rejection and rejection. And he turns them over to a reprobate mind. And at the end of the age, it had ceased to shine, for darkness had taken over. Christ was now outside of the church. Now, I want to just make sure you're getting that, because is there any darkness in Christ? Huh? No, no, no. So wherever Christ is light, because he's light. So now here was Christ in the church, and now he's out of the church. So where's the darkness? The darkness is in the church.
That's right.
He never becomes dark because he's the light.
Yes, sir. Huh?
So then everything that is in him is light.
Amen.
So if you're in him, it's light.
That's right.
Here is the sign in the sky. He mentioned it a while ago, right? Have you noticed this sign this day? Huh? The last eclipse of the moon was a total eclipse. And it waned to a total darkness in seven stages. In the seventh stage, the total darkness came as the Pope of Rome, Paul VI, went to Palestine to make a holy tour of Jerusalem. Wow. What about that? What timing? What timing that the Pope would be there in Jerusalem, which I think he had never been before. Am I remembering that correctly? He had been, that was the first time. That was the first time the Pope had ever been to Jerusalem. You know, they don't have anything in common. Huh? The only thing in common now is money. That's it. And Israel's not going to give up her God. And Rome is not going to give up her God, the devil. So it can't last. So this was a sign from God in this last day. It was a sign from God.
Yes, sir.
That there's the moon and the sun coming to a total eclipse the same time that the Pope goes to Jerusalem.
Amen.
He was the first Pope to ever go to Jerusalem. I'm asking the question, I got it right here. Sorry. The Pope is named Paul VI. Paul was the first messenger, and this man goes by that name. Notice, it is the sixth, or the number of man. This is more than a coincidence. And when he went to Jerusalem, the moon, or the church, the moon represents the church, went into total darkness. This is it. This is the end. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
Praise be to God. You read these things and it stirs up. It stirs up how we were 20 years ago. Brother, 20 years ago you were preaching. We were preaching like today could be the last day. We were preaching like this might be the last service. You don't know, this might be the last service. And that's true today. It's still true today. But there was something, there was such a fire then that we didn't know. We were just breaking into the mysteries. Now we have so much. We have so much revelation now. We need to ask God to kindle that fire.
That's right.
And make sure that we're right where we need to be.
Amen.
We don't want to be pushing Him out. Pushing Him out. We don't want that. Don't wait till you're way out yonder and then recognize and say, oh God, help me get back. No. Talk to Him right now and say, Lord, don't let any little thing get between me and You. Don't let anything.
That's right.
I want to walk in Your presence every day.
Yes, sir.
See? Now we can see why Abraham, let's say, no. Now we can see why there were two vines. One true and one false. Now we can see why Abraham had two sons. One after the flesh that persecuted Isaac. One after the promise. Listen to this. This is what he's going to say. Now we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys came forth as twins. One knowing and loving the things of God. And the other knowing much of the same thing. Is that right? They both come to worship. They both know God. They claim to know God. They both wanted to worship God. Huh? But the problem was, but not of the same spirit.
Amen.
Hence the persecuted, the child that was elect. God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. He reprobated for the sake of the elect.
Amen.
Praise God. I used to quote this all the time. It was a favorite scripture of mine. Especially on the mission field, where you find a lot of times ministers fighting and quarreling, and I mean it's here, it's everywhere. It's not just one. It's everywhere.
Right.
Elect cannot persecute elect.
That's right.
Think about it. The elect cannot persecute the elect. They're not going to do it.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if they don't have thus saith the Lord, they're not even going to say anything. They're going to be quiet.
That's right.
That's what Christ said we would do.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we do. Elect cannot harm the elect. It is the reprobates that persecute and destroy the elect.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you need anything to reinforce this thing about the Catholic Church, I challenge you. They probably don't have it in your school books because they got so much perversion in there. But you just go look for some history books and see if the Catholic Church put 68 million Christians to death through the Dark Ages. Go check it. Go check my numbers. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Amen.
Tell me if I'm right. That way I know you read it. 68 million. On her own records, that means that's only what they wrote down. That's not the ones that didn't get recorded. Can you imagine they wrote down 68 million? How many were killed that didn't get wrote down?
Amen.
This is history. This is the Catholic Church's records. You know why? Because why would they write down that against themselves? Because they thought they were doing God a service. They thought that those were justified killings. They thought because that those people were Christians and not Catholics that they needed to die.
Yep.
All those reprobates are religious. They are smart. They are of the Cain line.
Yes,
the serpent seed. They build their babels, they build their cities, they build their empires, and all the while calling on God. Listen, young people. They hate the true seed, and they will do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elected ones. But they are needed. And let me just say this, and these things in politics and these men out there, you know, they're not in the message, and I understand that. But you look at what the liberals are saying about Charlie Kirk. You have to marvel. You have to marvel at the accusations. Because if you listen to him talk at all, you have a hard time finding somebody who would disagree with you and be more respectful. Right. And he's not spewing hatred. He's not spewing foul words. And he's not just insulting you and condemning you. No. He was trying to engage you in a conversation. Yep. That's what he was trying to do. But when you listen to the descriptions from the people on the other side about him, that's all they say.
Yes, sir.
And he was the most evil, the most hateful, the most, he was just spewing hate. That amazes me.
Yes, sir.
That amazes me. Because I've listened to many of his podcasts and I can't find it. Did he disagree with their transgender and all of that, their life? Yes, he did. But he did it respectfully. They build their babels, they build their cities, they build their empires, all the while calling on God. They hate the true seed and they will do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elected ones. But they are needed. What is the chaff to the wheat? Huh? No chaff, no wheat. But at the end, what happens to the chaff? It is burned with fire unquenchable. See? And the wheat, where is it? It's gathered in his garner. It is where he is. Praise God. Oh, elect of God, beware. Study closely. Now, I think we might get some history here. Or it's going to be in the next message. Let me just keep reading. Oh, elect of God, beware. Study closely. Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Rely upon God and be strong in his might. Your adversary, the devil, is even now going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the true and the false are coming into maturity. But before the wheat matures, those ripened tares must be bound for the burning. Listen now, the prophet is revealing this. He's revealing the order of happenings, and he's identifying who is who. Who is the wheat? Who is the tares? What is the gathering? What is the burning? See, they are all joining the World Council of Churches. That is the binding.
Yes,
huh? The tares being bound together. That's it. The World Council of Churches is fulfilling the scripture. That's the voice of God.
Amen.
Revealing to us so we can identify. Because that was the prophecy that Paul had when he said, he will not come except there be a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. That was the prophecy in Thessalonians. The prophet Paul revealed it. And now it's taken 2,000 years to completely fulfill that. It was happening, but now it's in its completion.
Amen.
The man of sin has been revealed. The Antichrist is the Catholic Church, is the Pope.
Right.
The whole system is Antichrist.
Amen.
As soon as you disagree with the Word of God, you've taken the mark of the beast. You don't have, isn't that something?
Right.
Do you know that you can take the mark of the beast sitting right here in one of these chairs?
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's right. You can sit right here and act like you're whatever you are. And in your heart, and in your mind, you say, well, I don't believe that. I agree. Yeah, he was a prophet, but I don't believe that. As soon as you disagree, not with Don Johnson, not with Stanley Goomba, as soon as you disagree with the Word of God,
amen,
you have accepted the mark. That is Antichrist.
That's right.
That's Antichrist.
Amen.
You say that's too strong. They had to come to maturity. They were in their infancy 2,000 years ago, and they just came through, and then they begin the falling away, and then it began to resurrect, and it began to come forth, began to mature, 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 and now it's completely matured.
Amen.
There's no doubt now. During those ages, in its infancy, you couldn't tell. You weren't sure. It wasn't revealed yet.
Right.
But now, there's no doubt. There was people before Luther began to stand up and declare it was wrong, the church was wrong. Huh? Those people, all they knew was that that was the church. And they believed it wholeheartedly, the best they could. There were things there that they wondered about, they doubted, and then God sent a voice to stand up and say, that's wrong.
Right.
Do you imagine? A little nobody, a little priest standing up and saying that this great church, this great wonderful church that was established and was the world church and was the world leader and was the religion of the world, and this little guy is going to stand there and say, it's of the devil, it's wrong. It's not. That communion, that bread and wine, that's not the literal body of Jesus Christ. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. That church does not forgive your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives your sins. See how they were coming slowly, 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 getting them off the word? See, they're all joining the World Council of Churches. That's the binding. Soon the garnering of the wheat will come. Did it come? Oh yeah. Was it happening all the time? He revealed it. It was being revealed. I won't say nobody knew it till the rapture message. But in the rapture message, he made it so clear.
Right.
He made it clear for even the ones who didn't realize it. But I think the lack, they knew. What did he say? He said three things happen as he's descending. When Christ is coming, he said there's a voice, there's a shout, and there's a trumpet. And he said he does all three as he's descending. Well, that's perfectly in line with the Bible, isn't it? Huh?
Right.
The problem was people just didn't know what those three things were. He said it was a message gathering the people together. And it was going on all the time. It was happening all the time.
Amen.
The trumpet was sounding. The voice was calling the dead to life again.
Right.
See? Come out from among the tares, start to overcome, that you may be considered praiseworthy for your Lord and fit to reign and to rule with him. Now, this message here is all the way back in 1954, but he says some things that I wanted us to look at, and so we're going to take the next 30 minutes and in this message. And so, once again, it is showing the progression of the word, and it is showing the rejection of the word. And so just like somebody saying the other day about, do you believe in the devil? Well, you can't believe in God without believing in the devil. You can't believe in the Holy Ghost without believing in the Antichrist.
That's right.
You can't believe that God has revealed all of his word, all of the fullness of his word, without believing that Satan is here in the fullness of deception. Paragraph 71, we can start a meeting, work signs and wonders. I notice it here. I go out and sometimes in the meeting and the blind see, the deaf hear. Huh? Blinded eyes opened up, deaf ears made to hear again. See, the people come around and look and they say, that's wonderful. Praise be to God. Sure. That's what they do. They'll get all together. They'll have a good time. Somebody will get some healing. Somebody will get this. Somebody will get that. Everybody's praising God. They go to work on Monday. And by next week, they don't forget about it.
Yes, yeah.
Yep. Back to the world. Back to whatever it was. That's why Billy Graham said he can come into a town and get 30,000 converts. Isn't that amazing? 30,000 converts. And he said in 6 months, they go looking for them. And they can't find 30. Wow. 30. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The people come around, they say, that's wonderful. When the revival's gone, you don't hear no more of them. You don't, now they're done. They're gone. Huh? Till the next revival. Yep. I'll see you at Christmas. I'll see you at Easter. About the only thing to get them to church in between that is a funeral or a wedding.
Right.
See? What it needs tonight is not a new preacher. What it needs is the Holy Spirit to get out amongst the people and go to stirring them up.
Yes, sir.
Hungering and thirsting for righteousness' sake. Amen. And you know, what did he say? He's talking there about getting a new preacher. And that's what, especially denominations, that's what they love. Let's just get a new preacher. This guy is this. And that's fine. You'd do good with a new preacher, maybe. But it reminds me, and I'm sure Brother Goomba's had the same thing. You can't be a preacher without getting criticism. You, as a preacher, people are going to criticize. That's just, it's like you're the target, you know. If you're the first target, the number one target, the main target, and the favorite target. And so that happens. I can remember even as a young minister, ministering over here to the young people in Brother Holmes' church years ago. And I had a man, more than one man, I had another man tell me that his children, he was talking to them and decided to have family devotions after a long time. And said he was talking about Cain, and they didn't know who Cain was. And I said, Brother, we spent 2 years in the Church Ages book. And they were there. And now, it's my fault they hadn't heard of Cain, because I read the whole book cover to cover. And if anybody's read the Church Ages book, Cain is mentioned. He's the first chapter and all the way through. He gets mentioned several times. I had another man tell me, call me up, and he told me, he said, Brother, he said, my children are coming to the service and said, they're not getting anything out of it. He said, I talked to them and said, they're not getting anything out of it. And I said, well, Brother, I'm really sorry for that. I said, I'll pay more close attention. And so next service, what do? I watch his children. Now, they, you know, preachers always getting watched. I watch his children. Everybody had their Church Ages book except his children. His children didn't have their Church Ages book. His children didn't follow along. His children didn't read. No, they were just there doing whatever they do. So I called him back up and I said, Brother, I said, I think I might have this. I think I might know what's going on. I said, maybe you could have them bring one of those Church Ages book that you have at home, or you could get them to have one of these Church Ages book that we have extra here, and you could ask them to follow along. It's always the preacher's fault. That's the problem. It's always the preacher's fault. But you know what it takes? There's only one thing we need. And that's the Spirit of God.
That's right.
It's the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God gets on us, you know what? You're going to go find a Church Ages book.
That's
if you don't have, you're going to go ask your
yes,
mom and daddy. Say, listen, I need a book. We're studying this Church Ages,
yep.
And I need a book.
Yep.
And if your mom and daddy don't have one, you're going to come to the preacher and you say, I need a Church Ages book.
Yes, sir.
I don't have one. Everybody else has one. I don't have one.
That's right.
Huh? You find somebody that's hungry for God. And the only way they're going to get hungry is when the Spirit of God comes on them.
Yes, sir.
So you can't blame anybody. It takes God. But just remember, you're listening to an echo. You're listening, you're looking at the Word, you're looking in a mirror.
That's right.
So if you're not having any desire, if there's nothing in your heart saying, I want this thing, then you need to pray and say, God, I hear what He's saying, but I don't feel it. It's not moving in me. I'm not having this desire that He's talking about. Because it's the Word of God. When you get that desire, you are going to dig in.
Yes, sir.
That's why I throw so many extra quotes in there.
Yes, sir.
I don't read them all, but I want you to read before and after. I want you to read it.
Amen.
It's up to you to make the time. Yeah. You take Brother Gomba. A lot of times, he don't read all of his quotes. He preaches it. He's depending on you. Go back and read it now, and then see what happens.
Right.
When you take what he said and what's laying there, take it all. The simplicity of it is, we're giving you homework every service.
Yes, sir.
There's no way to cover it all. There's no way to say it all. There's no way to read it all. You're getting homework every service.
Amen.
That's what it needs tonight. It's not a new preacher. What it needs is the Holy Spirit to get out amongst the people. Go to stirring them up, hungering and thirsting for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they when they hunger and thirst for righteousness. Brother, if you're burning, if you can't get satisfied, if you just find yourself wanting more and more and more of God, you just need to thank God, because God put that desire there. God is the one stirring you up. Man can't give it to you. I can't. If I could, this church would be, everybody would be screaming.
That's right.
Huh? If these brothers could give it to you, everybody would be screaming.
Amen.
But when God gives it to you, brother, nobody's going to stop you then.
That's right.
Yeah, you get some old Presbyterian message preacher and he's saying, calm down now, calm down. You ain't going to calm down.
Nope.
I heard a preacher tell, he had a fireball on the pulpit one night down in Florida. And this guy would take his shoes off and he would go from one side to the other side to the other side. And he preached and he just couldn't calm down. He was just on fire. And so he got done, and the preacher come up, the pastor come up, and he said, all right, let's calm down now. And that preacher, he couldn't take that. He couldn't take that. He said, you can't calm this down. He said, this is alive, and it's in me. There ain't no calming it down.
That's right.
That's what's wrong. Why would you want to calm down?
Amen.
Just take it home with you.
Yes, sir.
Take it to work with you. Take it to school with you. Take it wherever you go.
Amen.
Let it bubble up and bubble out.
Yes, sir.
It's an artesian well. Let's read it again. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst,
Amen,
after righteousness.
Yes, sir.
They are blessed people.
Amen.
See? Wherever it is, it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. That's right. All right, dropping down to 75. See, I remember myself. Oh my, when I heard the good news come into my heart as a little sinner boy laying on a hospital bed, the doctor said, and I don't remember this, but there was two things here, two points here that I had forgot about. One was that they gave Brother Branham 3 minutes to live. His dad was standing there. Brother Branham's father was standing there. And they said, he has 3 minutes to live. The blood was coming out. They couldn't stop the bleeding. He's in bad shape. And then during that time, and I didn't remember this, Brother Branham he couldn't see. Now, because every time I think of Brother Branham, he had the best vision of anybody. He killed 55 head of big game. I'm not talking about squirrels. We're talking about large game, like deer and antelope and moose and caribou. 55 head, one shot. And then he had a miss, and it was because of the gun. There was a mess up with the gun. But his eyes, he wore them real thick glasses. You know, you ever see somebody that their eyes are so bad, it's like Coke bottles. You know, just big, thick glasses. I had a guy in school when I was in high school. His glasses were so thick, it was amazing. And so he was almost blind. This was before he was converted. And so I didn't follow this out, if this is the time that he got shot or which time this was. I'm thinking that was it, because I know he was bleeding out during that time. And so the doctor told his father there, he said, he's got 3 minutes to live. And he said, God, come on the scene. And I said, you know what his eyes were after that. You know what his eyes were. But that's how bad it was. He said he was blind. and he couldn't see. They said, you got 3 more minutes to live. And I heard a sound from heaven that told me the Jubilee year was on. Praise be to God. He had just told, he's talking the story of the Jubilee, and he said, this Jubilee now, he said, one thing about it is you had a choice. Jubilee or the liberty or the setting free. It was not forced upon the slaves. You know that. It was not forced on anybody. If you wanted to continue on as a slave, you could. But there was a condition. There was no condition if you wanted to be set free. Okay? He couldn't beat you again. He couldn't tell you what to do. He couldn't. There was no way he could stop you. You were free unconditionally. But if you didn't want to be free, there was a condition. That condition was that you would never be free. That condition was that you would be marked in the year. And that the rest of your life, you would be a slave. That was the condition. There was no choice. Do you know it's exactly the same? You know, there comes a time when you pass that line. You pass that line. Now settle yourself just a moment. For the past 40 years, listen to this. For the past 40 years in the United States of America has constantly been the roaring forth of the Holy Spirit, working among men and individuals, giving signs and wonders and all kinds of miracles. People that's been brought up from prostitutes and illegitimate people and so forth and made gentlemen and made Christians, see? Think now, this is in 1954, so the last 40 years. So this is, he's taken us back about to Azusa Street. He's taken us back to the outpouring of the Spirit, Joel 2. He'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So this time in history, unfortunately, most of the people now, when they're, especially in the message, because we go by what the prophet said, we're reading the message, and the only thing we know is that America has rejected God. America has rejected God, and we see the perversion, we see the gay, the lesbian, the trans, the LBG, and all of that stuff, all of that. We see the politics, we see everything is just in total ruin and chaos, and it's terrible. It's perverted, and it's just Antichrist. But before that, there was a great outpouring in America. There was a great outpouring, and the Spirit of God was moving everywhere. It was moving. And people could just be walking down the street, and the Spirit of God moved them to go somewhere and do something. Go pray for somebody, go give somebody some money, do some all kind of... When Eddie Bisco, who just passed away... When he preached, I Am a Witness, the first time, he came back years later and he preached it again. And he began to tell these instances of things that was happening during that day. A really good testimony. And I like it better than the first one. The first one was awesome. And it was he brought so many supernatural things from the prophet's ministry and that. But when he redid it, he was bringing things that the common people were living every day. And that's what the prophet's talking about. He's saying for 40 years, there was a revival. There was a revival among the churches. There was a revival among the people, among the Christians, among that. And great signs and wonders was happening. Everybody, it could be just nobodies. It wasn't always some great preacher or somebody. It was just nobodies, everyday people that prayed and believed God. Brother Branham said, In those days, the people had a path out the back door. It's like you go out the door of their house and there would be a path into the woods where they went and they prayed every day. We don't hear that. You just look and see the perversion. And somehow in the perversion, everybody still wants to be here. It's amazing, isn't it? People that's been brought up from prostitutes and illegitimate. See? made gentlemen and Christians. There has been those who have been blind, has received their sight, deaf ears has been opened, the great time of Jubilee for the sick and the afflicted, those who have been bound by the devil in every regard. Whether they've been sick, whether there's been blind, whether they've been crippled, there has been thousands times thousands of miracles worked amongst the people.
Yes,
he's not talking about his ministry now. He's talking also about the people. The things that's been happening. His is tens of thousands. But these things were happening amongst the people. Because
yes,
the Spirit of God had been poured out. There's been a revival constantly going on in the churches for the past 40 years of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's come to a time as a nation. See, as a nation, the whole, as individual and as individuals and as church group, we have turned it down. We've walked away and rejected it.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
1954. Brother Branham said, America rejected God in 1956. Is that right? 1956. He said, there's had 40 years of revival, 40 years of healing, 40 years of the blinded eyes being opened. The power of God poured out upon the people. Everybody experiencing it. And he said, what does it come down to in the final end? Rejection. Rejection, rejection. Now the bad part of it is, friends, if you grieve the Holy Spirit once too often, then you have crossed the separating line. You come to a place where there's no more repentance left for you. And you will be sealed into the kingdom of darkness where you'll never see the Lord Jesus. Huh? You'll be sealed into that kingdom, not this kingdom. That kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. So, Brother Fuel, I'm going to try to move forward here because my time's running out. Can you get to the red skip up? Yeah, right there. It may be the last night that you'll ever have the opportunity to become a Christian believer. It may be from tonight on that you've turned down the message of God for the last time. Then you'll be in the sight of God marked off in apostasy. Huh? God don't have nothing else for you. You don't have any more that being drawn, that being blessed, that being hungering and thirsting. He don't have any more obligation. You've rejected it. There's only going to be two classes of people in the last day. Both of them is going to wear a mark. In this last day, there's only going to be two. Not three, not four, not five, two. And they both are marked. The mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit without a shadow of doubt. Dropping down. And then that all that was not sealed by the Holy Spirit was took on the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy, which is rejecting the Holy Spirit. Huh?
Yep.
What is it? It's rejecting.
Right.
It's rejecting the Word of God. It's rejecting the Spirit of God. That's the mark of the beast. You see what I mean? And when the year of Jubilee or the blast come, the people are receiving the Holy Spirit and you deliberately, willfully turn it down, God has no more. God is under no more obligation to ever speak to you no more.
Right.
Wow. That's scary, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
We need to be on fire for God. Then you'll be marked off. That's right. All right. Paragraph 86. I got just a little bit more I want to get in here. And some of this is history. And here he's going to talk. Brother Bram's talking about studying again. He told us a while ago to study. And now he's telling us that he's been studying. And so these are good points. Paragraph 86. I've been studying history for the last 4, 5, 6 years on the Holy Spirit, knowing that this time that's now coming up to me was coming. Knowing that these things that are coming, I knew they were coming. Huh? That's what he's saying. What's happening and what's fixing to happen, I knew it was coming, and I've been studying to prepare myself for this. That I would lay aside the healing services being first for a while and preach the gospel. Well, you can say he was preaching the gospel the whole time. But he's talking about something greater. And you can say he can always pray for the sick. But that was his focus. That was his concentration was on that. That was his ministry. And he's saying, that's going to get laid down now, and I'm going to start preaching the revelation. I'm going to start preaching the gospel. I know that it's coming, and I'm preparing myself for it. See? People said, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? The first thing I had to do with that divine gift, listen to this, was win the hearts of the people. If I hadn't got their hearts, they wouldn't listen. Now God has confirmed it, and now they believe me. Do you remember when he got his commission?
Yes, sir.
You remember what was told him? Said, if you can get the people to believe,
right.
He said, nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer.
That's right.
Not even cancer. Nothing will stand in your way. And now he's saying, I've got their confidence. I've got their trust. Now they're believing me. And now, it's not just cancer that we need to heal. What we need to heal now is that soul.
Yes, sir.
That's what Malachi 4 was.
Amen.
That healing in his wings. See? Now God has confirmed it, and now they believe me. They've seen the things that's been said come to pass, word by word. They've seen the power of God move and do just exactly. Now what you say, they'll believe it. And the first thing I had to find out was what I was talking about, see? For God will hold me responsible for it at the day of judgment. That's true. Now, he's going to go into a little history here, and I wanted to put this in here. But you see, he's wanting us, he's wanting to teach us these things, and he's telling us that he knows he's coming into this ministry. But you can tell he's not fully seeing the main ministry. Because he's fixing to come into a ministry where he's going to preach. This is 54. So he's going to preach the church ages. He's going to preach Daniel. He's going to be preaching these things. He's a long ways from the seals. He's a long ways from the opening of the seals and the seven thunders. He's a long ways from that yet. But here he knows these things are coming. He knows they're in the making. And this is when he starts talking about it. He'll mention the seals here and there. See, now listen to this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell for the first time since Pentecost in Russia 100 years ago. That's right. That's history. See? And they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they worked signs and wonders 100 years ago. Is that right? So that would be in the early 1900. No, I'm sorry. That would be where? 1854. Would be 100 years, right? That's history. And they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they worked signs and wonders 100 years ago. And they rejected it as a nation. What's he telling us? That Russia had their revival. Russia had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Poured out upon them. They had the healing. They had all of these things that was taking place. And they rejected it. Every nation has done the same thing. See? They rejected it as a nation and turned it down. And when they did, they have turned now to an anti-God, anti-religious, and become communist. Cold, brutal-hearted. If you won't listen to God, he will give you over to a spirit that'll condemn you.
Yes,
be turned over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
That's where they go. That's where they go. Every nation, that's where they go. That's why the corruption, that's why the perversion, that's why the theology and the corruption in the churches.
Yes, sir.
Because they've rejected God. They rejected the revelation. They rejected the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He will give you over to a spirit that'll condemn you. Be turned over to a reprobate mind. To believe a lie and be damned by it.
Right.
Is that what the scripture says? they would rather believe a lie.
Yep. Amen.
Let me just bypass that. That's where Russia stands tonight, damned in the sight of God, because it failed to receive the Jubilee message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They was turned over to a reprobate mind. They believed a lie and are damned by it in the sight of God. The next place it failed was in Turkey. You know what those countries are now. You know where they're at. Huh? The Spirit of God was poured out on those countries. God didn't bypass anybody. He didn't leave anybody out. And the Turks rejected it and crucified and dropped into cisterns and so forth with swords sticking up like this. Those Armenian people and so forth slayed them by the hundreds. Look where Turkey is tonight. Yes, sir. Now, my brother, America's had 40 years. Huh? Of an old-fashioned apostolic preaching, the Jubilee year. And if they won't receive it as a nation, I'm afraid they won't do it. And then they'll be sealed out in dark, utter apostasy. Brother, look around this country. Look at what the people are doing. Look at what they're trying to bring into the schools. Look at what the perversion and the genderism and the transgenderism and the gays and all of that stuff. Look at it.
Yes, sir.
This is why. Because they've gone into apostasy. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
Blinded to the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said there might be one here and there. It's over. God has been rejected by the people. By the nation. Every nation. And if they won't receive it as a nation, I'm afraid they won't do it. See, dropping down all of our denominations, they're all right. But brother, God don't look to denominations. He looks to individuals. Christianity isn't a denomination. Christianity is the life that an individual lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's right. And someday, thus saith the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God, America, there had been whole turning God down. We'll receive the mark of the beast according to Revelation 13. And we're moving into it. God cannot let any nation. That's right. God is not a respect of nations. He's not a respect of people. He wants whosoever will. And if one nation will bloom and do all this and stand, that empire will last forever. Huh? If somebody, any group, any person will take the Word of God and believe it, accept the Spirit of God into them, then that will stand through eternity.
That's right.
And is there one? No. There's not one. Not one nation. Not one nation. They all rejected it. And it's amazing.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing.
Amen.
And preachers with the wrong spirit are deceiving the people. They still, I can remember, and it hasn't been that long ago, Brother Goomba probably remembers, there was a brother in Kenya talking about Africa. And he said, Brother Bram said, this is the last one, that Africa's getting the last message, the last everything. And I said, I don't find that in the message, and I don't find that in the Bible. 35 years ago, I was in Ohio at Paul Jones's church. And there was a busload of Spanish brothers and sisters come. And he told them that Brother Branham said that the Spanish people would be the last ones to get the message. I couldn't find that either. I started looking for it. And actually, that was before the computers. That was right before the computers. Computers come out sometime after that. Other countries, the same thing. God has taken it to every nation.
Yes.
Every nation, God's taken it. And every nation has rejected it.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it's so easy to look to another nation and say, that nation's bad. And it is. That nation rejected God. The prophets said they rejected God. So, what is there? 200 countries? 189? Something like that. Somewhere up there. 189. So, does Brother Branham have to say, name each one of them and say, this country, this country, this country, this country, rejected, rejected, rejected? Or can he just say, it's over? Can he say that the gospel started in the east and has traveled to the west?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
It got to Russia 100 years ago. It got here in the early 1900s. The Spirit of God was poured out on America. And they had 40 years of revival amongst the churches, amongst the people, amongst the nation. It was a great time. And people were experiencing in supernatural things. And it was a great time of rejoicing. But at the same time, Satan was working right alongside of it to deceive, 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 to pull them into, not into the kingdom of God, but to pull them into a denomination, to pull them into a world council of churches, to pull them in under some theologian, to pull them under something else. Huh? That's been constant, constant. That's what Satan has done. God's doing something great, and then Satan comes right in to pervert it. Sitting right on their shoulder while they're listening to the Word of God, saying, oh, you don't believe that. Yeah, that's that, just like he did Eve. Yeah, but God knows. But God knows. If you do this, you're going to know all things. See? And he's got people thinking that they know all things. He's got people thinking they know more than the prophet of God. That's why the bride is a different kind of person. The bride is the type of person that can leave off their intellect, can leave off their thinking, can leave off their conception, their theology, their intellect, and just take what that prophet said, even when they don't understand what it means or what he's trying to say. They can say amen and wait for God to reveal. That's what those disciples did. And Jesus took them into the room and he sat them down and he said, this is this, this is this, this is this. And they marveled. And so are we marveling. We're still marveling because God's still revealing what that prophet has said. It's still in a supernatural element. It's still hanging there and only God can reveal it. No man can do it. See, down the blue at the bottom, that's the kingdom of God that shall come with power and demonstrations. All the rest of the world will be broken, shot to pieces. They're going to reject it. Nations reject it. Churches reject it. Individuals reject it so that God can judge the nations. He can judge the churches. He can judge the individuals. For a man that comes to truth and fails to walk in truth, then he has, according to the scripture, he has blasphemed or rejected the Holy Spirit of God, and that man is past the day of redemption. That's right, past it. See, listen to this. Here's your America. Friends, when you walk around here, see, we wear good clothes, best clothes, huh? Best dressed people in the world, the Americans. And it's true. And even poor people, You don't have to be rich to dress nice. I see people wearing high dollar clothes, and I think, how do they afford that? But they afford it the same way I can afford. I can buy brand new shirts with the tags on them for $5 at Goodwill. And if you go through the parking lot at Goodwill, you'll see Mercedes, you'll see BMWs, you'll see all these. Those rich people go there and shop too. Why are they going to pay $300 for a dress that they can get there for $25 or
$50?
That's right. Best dressed people in the world. The best fed people in the world is the Americans. They drive the best automobiles in the world. They got the most money of anybody in the world. That's right. We have the best of everything in the world. We have some of the best churches in the world. We have some of the best people in the world. And yet, a nation as a whole are gradually turning away from God because we have placed it upon individuals. We have placed it on denominations. We have placed it upon the nations. Huh? Is that right? Yeah, it is right now. That's a big thing. It's a big thing. Not throwing off. I'm thankful for what's happening in the politics right now. It's an improvement for this country. But make America great? Huh? America sold out her birthright.
That's right.
She's gone. She's finished. There's no redemption. There's no salvation. She's finished.
Yes, sir.
Don't think Trump's going to save you.
Amen.
He can't. There was something I was wanting to read. If I can put it in here. And it was something Sister Edith read it to Richard the other day when we were there one morning. And I think I have it. But I guess I don't. I'll read it later. But I think she got it off the Lifeline. And Brother Brandon was talking about, he said, prosperity will make Christians lazy faster than anything. Prosperity. And he talked about when everything's going good and you don't have any challenges, you don't have any pressure, everything's just going sweet and smooth. He said, it's so easy to get lazy, spiritually lazy.
That's right.
And he said, he talked about different countries and talked about how that the wars and things, and maybe I'll read it to you on Wednesday, but he said, and that's why God uses trials and troubles and persecutions and these things. He said, you go into a country, and he gave some examples, that you go into a country that's been at war, and he said, you can take the gospel right in there. He said, because those people are hungering and they're praying to God to deliver them. They got needs. And when we're needy, we're crying out to God.
Amen.
And he said, you go to a country, see, I don't know if it was Switzerland or Sweden, one of them, but he said there hadn't been no war there in so many years. And he said they mocked Billy Graham. They mocked Billy Graham when he went there and made fun of him and everything. And Brother Branham was right behind him. Billy finished on Sunday night, and Brother Branham started on Graham finished Saturday night. Brother Branham started on Sunday morning. And so it came out in the paper, and they just criticized him in every way. And so Brother Branham said it's because they're living an easy life. And he said when people are living an easy life, they get lazy, spiritually lazy. And then they just drift away from God. After a while, they don't need God anymore. Brother, so when you get a trial and you get some pressure, thank God. Thank God for that. Because God is building a character. He's building character. And he's also keeping you on fire for him. And so that tension sometimes, that's a good thing. It's something that helps us and guides us. And so, all right, I'm going to stop there. I know I went over a little bit, but we don't have a time, but we talk like we do. But when these brothers are up here, I tell them, no time. Just go until you feel like God is satisfied.
Amen.
And when God's satisfied, your heart's going to be satisfied. Everything's going to be good.
Right.
And so we thank God for that. And so we're going to ask you to stand together with us. And now, I want to remind you now, Brother Goomba is going to be going soon. I think I heard Michael saying something about it. So we want to continue to remember him. He's still maybe three, because going to be preaching the 19th, and we're going to have a dinner on the Sunday before. Yeah, so anyways, so we want you to remember that now. If God blesses you with something that we can put in the mission for him, then you just
turn that into Brother Michael, and we're going to give it to Brother Goomba and help him on his expenses and travel and all of those things. And then, you know, when a man's on the mission field, his family still has to be fed. All of his bills are still there. Everything's still there. Right. And so just because he's over there doesn't mean that goes away. It's still there. And so we want to do everything that we can to let his mind be 100% on the mission field, upon the people, upon those souls that he's ministering to. So if you can't do anything else, you pray, because that's the greatest thing, is to hold him up in prayer and know that God is going to make the way for all things. Amen. I'm going to ask him if he'll come, Brother Goomba, if he'll come. Praise God. Continue to remember Brother Richard also. God bless you, brother. God bless you so much.
That's good.
Thank you.
Give me 1 minute. So get seated. Just 1 minute. Maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. Well, I know you're tired. I know you're tired. You need to go home. But one of the things that I really love is
The mic.
The mic, okay.
All right.
Is thirsting and hungering for God. Yeah. I think that is, that's too much for me. That's too much for me. We need to have that. We need to have that more than anything else.
Amen.
If we don't have that, then you don't look for food when you're not hungry.
Yes.
And that's very important to me. That's very important to me. I was thinking about tithes. I was thinking about the tithes, you know, tithes, tithing. 10% of your money is not your money. It's not your money.
That's right.
People think that they are giving. No. You're not giving money out to anybody. 10% of what you earn is not your money. It's not yours. Right. If you eat it, you are a robber. You are a thief. That's what the Bible said. I'm sorry to use those strong words. But that's what the Bible said. You are a robber, you are a thief, you are that. That's what the Bible said. That's what God said. You are robbing God. That was it. Okay, now, that's about money. That's about money. Now, I was thinking about what people say here. Time is money. Time is also money, right?
Yes.
Time is, so you have time as money, is right? How much time do you give God?
There it is.
I was just thinking about that.
Right.
How much time do you give? Do you rob God in terms of time?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You have everything else. You do everything else, but you give God. You and don't count Sunday. Please don't count Sunday. The world and everybody has given Sunday to God. That's okay.
Yeah.
And Friday for Muslims, is right? But Sunday is given to God. Don't count Sunday. Sunday, don't count it. Do you give God any other time? Do you ask for God?
Amen.
Praise with God. The quotes are read here. Is this that's the last time that we're going to hear them? Then let me tell you something. You are opening a door. You are opening a door for the enemy.
Right.
That's what it is. You're opening. That's me. I'm not telling you. I'm telling me. I'm opening a door for the enemy.
Amen.
You're getting everything from God and giving it to the enemy. You're getting the arms that God has given to you and giving it to the enemy to defeat you. That's what you're doing. If you're lusting and hungering for God, you give God a certain percentage of time. I will say 10% or whatever, but you give God a certain percentage of your time. But you can sit down and say, now, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sit here and listen to God.
Right.
I'm going to Brother Don, that's very touching. But in those days, there was a path, a beaten path.
Amen.
That every so often, there's a place that you go there, down there to pray.
Yes,
every so often, you go to do that. How about prayer meetings? How about prayer meetings when people come, they don't preach, they don't do nothing. They may be, a scripture can be read, and they sing, and then they pour themselves upon, talk to God.
Amen.
Nothing more, they talk to God. Where is that?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
are we agreeing? And that's it. And you say now you're defeated. How can you be defeated? You've opened up. We have opened up for the devil. We are running for work. We are running for this. We go to thirst and hunger. We got to come to that. To come to terms with God, brother. Don, we got to do that. Something is got to be done. I'm not preaching, brother. Don preached. Another thing I wanted to say. I'm sorry. But another thing I wanted to say is, and I'm not touching about money and anything. I'm just saying. I thought it came that time. It's money. Time is something. You worry your money. You worry your time. Then give time. God wants time also. And if that is the most important thing, then you're going to give it time. Brothers and sisters. That's right. Another thing I wanted to say, just 1 minute, is God is nowhere else. And Brother Don, this is too deep. You think you're talking to the... No, this is too deep. This is for me.
Amen.
There's no any other place where there's salvation.
That's right.
There's no joking around with this, with that. No, there's only one place. You remember Ruth? Ruth was told, go and mark where that Savior, where that Redeemer lies. Go mark it. It's not here, there. No, it's one place. Go mark it. Put an X there. That's where you can get your... And that's exactly right. You cannot be anywhere. You are here. It's a particular place. That is the message of the hour.
That's right.
In the times of Noah, there was no any other place where you could get salvation except getting into that ark. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. In times of Paul, there was nowhere else to get the salvation except Paul. Is that right?
Right?
And so is it today. There's a place that's called the message. Not another place. You can be here, you can be here. And I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about a certain message. A certain message. If you're hungering and that thing, you got to look for it. You got to know it's here. You cannot just... this is not... You know, there's cards, the game of cards that you can win. You cannot. This is not gabbling. You cannot gabble here, right? You cannot. You got to be. This is it.
Amen.
There are some churches in the message that are equal to Baptists or Presbyterians or anything else. Amen. It's not there.
That's right.
And if you value your life. And Brother John, that's very touching. Brother John, you think this is not a joke, Brother John. This is so deep. It's coming to a place where a line will be drawn. You refuse him. You refuse this message so much, so long, and a line will be drawn. It's done. You never desire to go, and you are going to hell. You are headed to hell 100%.
Amen.
It's a fearful thing. It's not just something to joke with. I'm not preaching. But it's not something to joke with. It's something that would scare me. It's something that would scare anybody who cares.
That's right.
You got to thirst and hunger for this. You got to look for it. You got to find out. Questions. Do you have a problem? If you had a problem with mathematics in school, and you know that you're going to, for the young people, and you know that you're going to fail that examination that takes you to the other grade, you look for anybody who knows mathematics.
Yeah.
Who can help me with this? How much more? If you know that you're headed to, because you are, if you're not in the message of the hour, if you don't know it, you're headed to hell. How much more would you look for? Somebody, my brother Michael, I know you know the subject. What is he talking about here? How much more?
Amen.
Let's pray. We know, Lord God, that the prophet said that if you had 100 mouths, Father, you would dedicate all of them to the talking, to the speaking, to the preaching of this word, Lord. And that's, we are not sufficient. We don't say enough. We feel like there's so much, Lord, that's to be said. But Lord, we know that you can say it. You can take that heart and say it. You can open it. You can open these things, Lord. You can put that lust. You can put that hunger. in every believer, in every member of this of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can thirst and look and seek for you, Lord God. That's what we want. We want to seek for you. We want to get you. We want to be one with you. We want to surrender. We want to give all that we are to you, Lord God. Forgive our shortcomings, because we are short of what we're supposed to be. We know, Father, that maybe we are not where we are, but Lord, we still need more of you. We want to eat more of you, Lord. We desire to be with you, Father. Help us. We commit ourselves to you. We still remember Brother Richard, Lord. We pray, Father, that... And we are so thankful, Father, for what you've done. Sometimes we feel ashamed when we see what you've done so much for us, Lord God, and we're still there asking for you. But we just remember that if a woman, Lord God, comes to a place where he doesn't, a wife, that does, he doesn't need her husband anymore, Lord, then the strength of the bond, Father, is not as good. And we realize that we need you, Lord. There's nothing we can do. We depend on you, Lord God. There's nothing we can do without you, Father. We look up unto you, Lord God. It's only you or nothing, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you've done for our brother, for our sister there, Lord. Be with them. Continue, Lord. We pray, Father, that that leg, that arm, Lord, gets back its strength, because nobody can do it but you, Father. You can do it. You're God, Lord. For anything else that the brothers and sisters have put before you, Lord, we know, Father, that you are more than able to grant it. Grant it, Lord, and we shall glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.